Nation. We look through the window of baseball for Truett and White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. We bring in Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, how's the weather where you are today?
Absolutely gorgeous.
See? Then we look through the window of Bruce Jenkins' home.
That's what it's all about. Yeah.
I got the Windex out. All good.
Very good. Sounds like my fat Greek wedding. The guy with the Windex?
Sure.
I'm into movies today. What can
Marty's
I tell you?
Marty's really bringing the pop culture thunder today, Bruce.
Bruce, remember The High and the Mighty?
Yes, I do, vaguely.
Yeah, oh, so vaguely. All right, come on. Yeah, you remember. I think he may have won an Academy Award. John Wayne?
Starring Pete Vagley.
Okay. Pete Vagley.
Or Ed
Josh
Vagley.
Vagley.
Yeah.
Right.
Actually, it was Vera Vague, I think, because she never seemed to make any sense.
Right. So, you know, because my point was, you know, at some point in the season, you know, you got to, it's the old point of no return. I mean, that was part of the movie in The High and the Mighty.
Oh, okay,
but,
yeah.
You know, but they played 50 games. Bruce, when do you start saying, wow, this thing now really is sort of turned around?
Well, I think right now. I mean, if they're 20 and 30, they're way behind, you know, the Dodgers, let alone Arizona and Colorado. And, you know, every loss is really disheartening now because you just really need to pile up a few in a row or five out of six and get up to at least close to 500. But, you know, instead they lose four in a row. They come home, first game out of the box at home, they get absolutely nothing. And you really just have to wonder. I mean, I'm certainly not writing them off. I don't write off anybody in late May or early June, especially a team with this kind of history. But I certainly don't see anything terrific happening in the near horizon.
Bruce, just for fun, power rank these losses, these four consecutive losses, because they were all kind of weird. One, you had the Joe Panic called third strike, Jeff Nelson in Chicago. Then you had the weird basket game at Wrigley where the fan reached out and the phone was inoperable for a few minutes. And then the one last night. I mean, how would you kind of look? Which of these games caught your attention?
Well, last night was by far the most disheartening because they came home with nothing. You know, the Cubs are a very good team, and you're lucky to get a split there. The call, the Jeff Nelson call in Panic was absurd because they were in the process of getting back to tie that game, and all of a sudden it's over for no good reason. But I think, you know, to lose, they played the Cubs pretty tough, which is something to be said for that, and last night they really came up empty.
Are you now, you and I have agreed on this. We've seen the electronic computerized strike zone. Mm-hmm. Are you any closer to really advocating for it after watching this week?
Yeah, this whole season I've been trying to get in that mindset, and I'm trying to talk myself out of, you know, advocating it, but it's becoming harder and harder for me. I get so tired of having to scout the umpires or hearing that certain umpires, you know, as the game goes on, their strike zone changes. And just to see calls like that are just so preposterous. You see, if you watch, you know, the highlights at night and quick pitch, you see all over baseball, there's guys getting rung up on totally absurd pitches that just aren't even close to being strikes. And I'm really tired of it. Having watched the computerized umpires in action, as the game goes on, you know, the ump's still there. He's just getting the call relayed to him. It just doesn't bother me. And I'm also not going to miss, if this were ever to happen, the player getting so crazy over a call that he gets tossed out. That's not exciting to me, a guy arguing at home plate over a bad call and then getting ejected. There's nothing good about that. So I'm definitely warming to it. I know it's a long way off, so it's not something that's we have to really concentrate on. I've heard Rob Manfred saying the technology's not there.
Right.
I think he'll get an argument from Eric Burns and a lot of other people. But, you know, the conversation helps. The more people that say, you know, let's try this, the better. I think maybe you could try it in spring training and see how that works 1 year. But I think it's closer.
Yeah, I agree with you. Bruce Jenkins with us. I think it's something at least try.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like tomorrow all of a sudden, all right, we have a computerized strike zone, this is the major leagues.
Yeah.
You know, it's like everything else. They did it with replay and everything else. Just try it and see what it looks like.
Why can't they do it in spring training?
I agree.
Well, they could. I mean, I think that's where you would do it, because it wouldn't be any difficulty at all to go back to how it was if it's really unsatisfying. But I'd like to see it tried next spring myself.
I would. Arizona Fall League. I mean, there's enough.
There too,
you know, they talk about. But you know, it's funny, Bruce. There's more of a groundswell within baseball to put two runners on base in the 11th inning.
No.
Than there is to get the strike zone straight. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, I have a problem with the runners coming out of nowhere, coming from, you know, the planet Mars. All of a sudden, they show up. He got a double on Mars, and by God, he's down here now in the top of the 12th. You know, and at the same time, you know, top of the 18th, I'm like, let's get this over with. You know what I mean? But I struggle with the artificial thing where you just all of a sudden create a rally that didn't exist.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. What do you do about this lineup? What about Arroyo? What's your take on Arroyo? Do you sit him down? He's having failure at the major league level. Does he have anything to prove? He can hit 620 if he goes back to Sacramento. I guess he can do that. But what do you do with the lineup? Is there a way to stabilize this lineup, Bruce?
Well, I'm glad he's still with the team. He kind of was associated with the little revival that they had. He brought a lot of good energy. I'm amazed how lost he is now. A couple of times he's hit the ball like 3 feet right in front of the catcher. I mean, and he seems to be guessing wrong on almost every pitch. He's being pitched well. That's the story of the major leagues. But, you know, the kid's a good hitter, and he's just completely all turned around now. His confidence might be a little bit shot, but he's stable in the field. I'd hate to see him get sent down, and really that would be very depressing for him after all. You know, once you've lived a big league life, mm-hmm. it's hard to go back, and I don't think any of us thought he'd be going back, you know, as recently as 2 weeks ago. We thought he was set. He's very good in the field, which is great at third base. You know, at the same time, if he goes down, you can put Nunez there, and you're fine, and you know Gillespie and everything else. But I really pull for the kid, and I get heavily invested emotionally in all of his at bats because I want him to do so well, and I'd love to see him go 3 for 4 and kind of get back on track before it's too late and he's down.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you, and let Nunez stay. I say put Nunez in left. Let Gillespie and Hill play third, and let the kid be the utility guy. Let him do that.
Yeah, he can play.
Pick your spots.
Yeah, he can play anywhere in the infield, which is remarkable. I mean, he's looked good everywhere, and that's a good thing when a kid doesn't let his slump affect him in the field.
Jeff Samardzija, Bruce, and is it lost in the shuffle what he did? And I think he went 150 batters or something without a walk.
April 28th was the last time
Jabari
he had thrown
Blash,
a walk.
Yeah, he's now in the minor leagues. Did Samardzija, is he getting lost in the shuffle here? This guy's having a pretty darn good season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, two starts ago, I've never seen him better. That was just a fantastic outing. He seems to have... You never know with him. Sometimes the fastball will be a little too straight, not a lot of break on the slider, but it's definitely happening for him now. He had a rough time with the long ball in his last start, but yeah, I've always liked the guy. I love him as a competitor, and you know, not to walk guys shows an awful lot. I mean, the walk, particularly out of the bullpen guys, has really hurt him this year. And to see a guy with that kind of economy of pitches and the competitor he is, it's just a big plus for me.
Can you ever pound the strike zone too much? Because of what you just talked about, I mean, I think he's given up 10 home runs on the season, 3 the other day in Chicago. So I wonder if he maybe ought to get these guys off balance, the opposing batters a little bit, throw one high and tight or go at their feet or something. Maybe he's hitting the strike zone too much.
Well, that start two starts ago, I mean, there was nothing at all wrong with that. I mean, no, I don't think you, as long as you're working the corners and the angles of the strike zone, I don't think you can throw too many strikes.
No, and plus he talked to you, he called it the Easter basket in Wrigley. That's the first time I ever heard it described as the Easter basket.
Right.
And it was really funny when he said it, but it was, you know, it's a gift.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's you know, only a park that was built in like 1912 would have something like that, I guess. But it's quirky and it's great. And I love any quirk in any ballpark. I even like the Hill in Houston, although I don't miss it that much. But I love the Hill in the old Crosley, which was a little bit more original. But anything quirky with a park, I'm for.
Yeah, Taos Hill is gone. They've leveled it in Houston. I guess the flagpole is probably still out there, I think.
Wow.
But yeah, the Hill is gone. Well, you can't pound the strike zone too much because, you know, you really want to pitch within the strike zone and get swings and misses. But Joe Schultz, remember Joe Schultz, the manager of the Seattle Pilots, Bruce?
Well, I'll never forget his two favorite words from Jim Boughton's Ball 4.
Well,
two words and he used them in reverse order. Sometimes it was boom, boom, and then boom, boom the other way.
Right, and he would say, let's get the outs and go in and pound the Budweiser. That was his. That he'd go out to the mound, and that's what he would say. And and let's you know. And that was his pep talk. And I always remember that. So pound the strikes, and I always say, well, get some outs and pound the Budweiser.
You know who pounded the strikes on was the late Jim Bunning. We should pay tribute to him today.
Yes, very good. Go ahead.
I mean, this is a guy who had. I looked it up. He pitched 151 complete games, whereas guys today are lucky with like three.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, in those days, I mean, he was kind of in that second tier behind Koufax and Marichal and Spahn, you know, in there with like guys like Bob Friend and Dick Ellsworth and Kurt Simmons and Gary Peters and Claude Osteen. You know, these guys were workhorses. They were reliable. I checked one random year, in 1964, there were 44 guys who pitched at least 200 innings. And now, you know, you get a guy like Kershaw or Bumgarner, it's like, wow, that guy's a real workhorse. Mm-hmm. And one other thing I found on Bunning, after pitching nine straight seasons over 200 innings, nine of those,
wow,
he goes to over 300 the next 2 years. I mean, that's an arm. I'd love to know exactly what he did in his youth, how much ball he played, when he started throwing the breaking pitch, and how he prepared himself for adulthood, because that's longevity personified.
Well, you're going to hear it because I have a memory of the game I did with Jim Bunning,
cool,
the senator from Kentucky. And Raph pulled it out this morning, and we'll play it on today's show. Talk about signing with Detroit, and Billy Heft was his first roommate and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But Jim Bunning pitched a no-hitter for the Tigers, then was traded to the Phillies. There's a huge, you know, Jim Bunning traded to the Phillies. And he pitched a perfect game on Father's Day against the Mets at Shea Stadium. I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
I think Gus Triandos caught him that day, and Tony Taylor was at second base, and I met both of them about that game.
There you go.
But he won 19 games like 5 years in a row. He just couldn't win.
I think he only got 20 once.
Yeah, but if you look at his Phillies stats, he was 19. He always won 19. He just couldn't win 20. But I'm so glad that he was recognized as a Hall of Famer, because Jim Bunning had the slider, just a great pitcher. And, that was good. I'm glad you brought it up. He was a senator from Kentucky.
That's right.
Yeah, heck of a man.
Yeah.
And those Phillies teams weren't very good. I mean, he was pitching great games against the odds a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm. Then Bruce, he got traded to the Pirates, and then that was the end of him.
Yeah.
One more thought for you, Bruce, here is I was just thinking all week that Jeremy Affeldt filling in for Mike Kruko. What a pair of grand shoes to fill in for. And I thought Jeremy did a really good job, and it was hilarious to hear Dwayne kind of tease Jeremy, and Jeremy took it in stride, and he laughed it off about the us and the we's. But I got to be honest, I'm an unabashed Mike Kruko fan, and I missed him. So is it harder to fill in? Was it harder to replace or fill in for Willie Mays or Madison Bumgarner or Mike freaking Kruko? Did you know? I mean, was it as difficult for you as it was for me, Bruce?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it doesn't matter who's in there. If it's not Kruko, it's not top of the line. I mean, he's the best that I've ever heard. I think a lot of people, even some out-of-towners, say that. They start listening to him whenever they can. But, I thought Affeldt was good. He's comfortable in front of the camera. He's always been a good talker.
Sure.
He makes good points, and the humor angle is huge, because you don't want him to just be bombing there with nothing really to say. Those guys are always looking to get a little bit of a laugh, and they're on the same page there. I thought he did fine. I'm not like irritated at any point, but it's definitely not the same.
Well, Kruk lifts the lineup. You know how some hitters lift the lineup?
Yeah.
When he's not there, the lineup is different.
It's different.
He lifts the lineup.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's the guy who lifts
the lineup. Jeremy was out. I got a real kick out of Jeremy, and he's awesome, but I needed my Mike back, and we got him last night. It's great to have him back, and we know his situation. Just I wanted to shout out Mike and say we miss him on that roadie.
All right.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of that. I mean, he's not going to go east of Colorado.
No.
So, I mean, and you know he's dying inside when he's not at Wrigley or New York or any of those places. You know, he's used to the grind, and he really loved the travel when he was mobile, and it gets so difficult now. I think it was a choice he had to make.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, but I'm glad you brought that up, Pat.
Thanks,
good.
Marty.
Bruce, all right, so you have a good day today. How you doing?
Good. My health is just about 100% now,
wonderful.
I'm getting ready to – I'll be covering the NBA Finals just in time, and a pretty good slate today with the A's and the Giants on the tube, and the Dodgers a little bit later. So, all good, Marty.
Very good. All right, we'll talk with you tomorrow morning. Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks,
you got
Bruce.
It. Thanks a lot.
All right, that is Bruce Jenkins. Boy, I love talking to him.
It's the best,
isn't it?